Our guest this hour wrote a USA Today column that dismissed the possibility of a serious third-party challenge in 2012. And we will wonder if you agree or not with his analysis. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, December the 16th. We are going to talk about the potential of a third-party presidential bid. There's been a lot of speculation lately about an independent presidential candidate. Some have said Ron Paul should run as an independent if he doesn't win the GOP nomination. There are progressives who are unhappy with President Obama. What about the third party or the Green Party as a third party bid? We're going to talk about all these possibilities and welcome your questions and comments at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Ross Baker. He's a professor of political science at Rutgers University and a member of the USA Today Board of Contributors. His piece on third parties is linked on our website at wpr.org/Joy and on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. The headline of this column, Third Party in 2012, Forget About It. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. Well, forget about it, really?
Well, that's kind of a New Jersey phrase. That was actually there. That's one of the editorial touches they put on the piece.
But you don't think that there is going to be a serious third-party challenge in 2012?
No, I really don't, for a variety of reasons. First, let's talk about the Democrats and the possibility that a group of disaffected progressives would hive off and run a third-party candidate. One of the things that's absolutely beyond questioning is the fact that one of the most important constituencies in the Democratic electorate are African-Americans. They will stick to President Obama like a stamp to a love letter. And anyone who challenges him really has to understand that that constituency is just not up for grabs. Well, let's turn around and look at the Republicans, on the other hand. Clearly, the most likely independent or third-party candidate would probably be on the right. People who are, let's say, dissatisfied with Mitt Romney, were he to be the nominee. Perhaps less so with Newt Gingrich because he's currently on a roll. But certainly a third-party candidacy from the right would virtually guarantee President Obama's reelection, something that no conservative Republican would want to see happen, even having the satisfaction of someone whose views are as clear-cut as those of Representative Ron Paul. So I think for reasons that are distinctive to both parties, I think the challenges are unlikely. And add to that the fact that independent candidacies of the past, for the most part, haven't been terribly successful.
Yeah. Well, we do have in Wisconsin today a candidate who is running for president on the Green Party ticket, of Jill Stein, a physician and activist from Massachusetts. Is in Wisconsin today, and in fact, a Wisconsin man, Ben Mansky, who is on this program quite frequently, is her campaign manager. Now, what about the Green Party in 2012?
Well, again, you know, the Green Party would, if it had any hope at all of any kind of success, would presumably appeal mostly to voters on the left side of the political spectrum, you know, with a very strongly environmental position, let's say a banning of the construction of the nuclear power plants, a very aggressive attack on global warming and so on. Yeah, I mean, you could certainly get people who are motivated very strongly by those issues. But it's a fairly narrow base of people. I think that even a kind of down the line, middle of the road Democrats, who are generally friendly toward the idea of a more muscular environmental policies, probably wouldn't be attracted to it, and rather, I think, perhaps back President Obama.
Yeah. And when you're saying that, forget about, you're not saying it, but your headline writers were saying, forget about a third party in 2012, you're saying that it's not going to be a winning proposition, not necessarily that it won't have an impact at all?
Well, sure. They do have impact, and people are mobilized by them. And, you know, there are always going to be people who are going to be available to be recruited by independent candidacies. Ralph Nader is a very strong personality. He's someone who has extremely devoted followers. It's certainly true that they, you know, have issues that are appealing in many ways. But the numbers are small. And in the case of the Green Party, at least there is a sense that they stand for something. You know, which of course is, as I say, you know, environmental activism. But other independent movements really don't tell you very much about themselves. You know, one of the things we know is what a Democrat and what a Republican is today. For the most part, I mean, the distinctions between the Democratic and Republican parties are as clear-cut as they've ever been. Contrary to what Governor George Wallace said in 1968, there's considerably more than a dime's worth of difference between Democrats and Republicans. And the struggles in Washington to pass appropriations bills and to extend the payroll holiday are certainly graphic evidence of that. So you know what you're getting when you're getting a Democrat or a Republican in the White House. With an independent candidate, you really don't quite know. And Americans are very brand conscious. You know, one of the things about Americans is they know what a Big Mac tastes like. They know what what Burger King does. Those are familiar products, and so on. You know, any other burger is kind of a risky. So people tend to go with the familiar, and I think some of these unfamiliar brand X parties really aren't able to get the attention or the loyalty of voters very readily.
Well, you know, Glenn Beck and Joe Scarborough and others have suggested that Ron Paul should run as an independent if he doesn't win the GOP nomination. The Paul campaign is dismissing this idea, saying they need to be focused on the primary. And frankly, Ron Paul seems to be doing quite well in Iowa right now. But what impact could Ron Paul have if he ran as an independent?
Well, if Ron Paul ran as an independent, again, it would virtually guarantee the reelection of President Obama. Because the voters he would attract would be subtracted from the Republican nominee. There are not many Democrats or, let's say, left-leaning independents who would go for Ron Paul. It would be a factional candidacy and one that would spell the doom of the Republicans in the 2012 election. Mm-hmm. And that I think is important. And I have a lot of respect for Representative Paul. And I just don't think that as an act of audacity or kind of a frivolous thought that he would run. He's a much more thoughtful guy than that. And so I just think that's unlikely. And the other thing is, Joy, that in practical terms, what would be the consequence of an independent candidate winning the presidency? That person would have to deal with a Congress that was composed of nothing but Democrats and Republicans who would have no particular loyalty or obligation to that president.
Mm-hmm. We are talking with Ross Baker. He is a professor of political science at Rutgers University and a member of the USA Today Board of Contributors. He wrote a piece that ran recently in USA Today that downplayed the possibility of a serious third-party challenge in 2012. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions for him. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Would you like to see a big-name independent candidate for president? And who would that be? Or is there an existing third party that you are getting behind? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Checking our weather forecast for today, it's going to be a mostly cloudy day today with some flurries in western and northern Wisconsin. Highs will be in the low 20s in the north to the mid-30s in the south. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 19 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, December the 16th. Coming up later this morning, after 8 o'clock, it's our Week in Review. We will welcome in two guests from different political perspectives, a former lieutenant governor of Wisconsin, Margaret Farrow, and a former attorney general of Wisconsin, Peg Lautenschlager. And we will talk to them about all the big political news of the week, state, national, and international. The Week in Review every Friday between 8 and 9. Right now we are talking about third parties with a guest who says that third parties are not going to make a big difference in 2012 or not mount a serious challenge in 2012. Our guest is Ross Baker, who is a professor of political science at Rutgers University. And as I suspected, our lines are full. But I did want to ask you, Professor Baker, what prompted the column? And part of it was because Arizona Senator John McCain predicted that a third party was inevitable?
Yes, he did, but he very quickly distanced himself from that by saying he wouldn't be part of it, which suggested to me that in theory, yeah, it's a very appealing idea. And let me just say, Joy, that it's unquestionably there's a huge amount of disaffection with the two political parties. I sort of stipulated that in the article, and I recognize it, and there's a tremendous amount of public disappointment at what's been going on in Washington, and so on. But to jump from that to a successful third party movement that's anything but a spoiler movement. And so many of these third party movements have in fact really ended up being that, or at least being accused of that. Certainly in the case of Ralph Nader in Florida in 2000, being accused of being a spoiler by Democrats, is something that I think that third parties always run the risk of incurring the wrath of people over that particular problem.
Let's go to the phones. Paladin in Dodgeville is our first caller. Hello, Paladin.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Very good. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I think I'd start off by saying Ron Paul is probably going to get my vote one way or another. I would ultimately like to see, two or three independent candidates on the ballot. I just feel as though we need to do away with this dualistic political system where these two factions kind of going head to head all the time.
And how would that work, Paladin? So you just there wouldn't be like a two-party primary system, so it would just be everybody?
In a sense, yes. I mean, I just kind of like to see people's identifications with one political party or another kind of decrease.
Mm-hmm. What about that possibility, Professor Baker?
Well, I really do believe that that parties really do help voters make their decisions. That knowing that a candidate is a Democrat or a Republican, in most instances, does tell you a lot about them. And you know that for all the political information that's out there, voters are often at a loss to make a decision on a candidate. And if you see a D or an R after the name, it really does tell you something. It's a kind of a shortcut that enables you to make a decision that's reasonably consistent with what you believe in. So I guess I'm in favor of more brand identification rather than less.
Yeah. Paladin, why are you saying that Ron Paul will get your vote one way or another?
I don't know. I just feel as though he's a strong individual, and he had my support last election. I feel as though he hasn't really changed all too much in his views or in his philosophies.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, maybe Ross Baker can talk a little bit about why Ron Paul is doing so well in Iowa, but is not expected to win the Republican nomination.
Well, I guess I see Representative Paul following a course that was charted by Mike Huckabee in 2008. Which was enormously popular in Iowa, won the Iowa caucuses, and then ran out of money. He really couldn't even compete after that. I think Congressman Paul's in a somewhat stronger position, and I think he stands a really quite good chance of winning in Iowa. The Iowa caucus goers are a very interesting group. They're kind of a distillation of the Republican Party. The Republican Party being, you know, quite conservative, but these are sort of the conservatives of conservatism. A lot of evangelical voters who might not necessarily favor Congressman Paul. He doesn't make an overtly religious pitch, but. You know, it is an extremely, extremely conservative electorate who I think might well favor some of this, particularly some of the economic policies that Congressman Paul has been advocating.
Mm. I don't want to take our focus too much off of the third party aspect, but a lot of Ron Paul supporters are pretty outraged that they believe the media are not giving Ron Paul his due, and Ron Paul would be doing a whole lot better if he wasn't ignored. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think he's been getting rather a lot of attention. I think that very often the media makes decisions very early on in the campaign as to who is viable and who is not. And, I mean, certainly someone like New Mexico's former Governor Gary Johnson, who is a candidate, or former Louisiana Governor Buddy Romer, have gotten virtually no attention at all. And I would, you know, I would say those were people who have a really legitimate claim that they're being ignored. But I think Congressman Paul certainly has been at all the debates. He's gotten a reasonable number of questions. He's responded, you know, in a manner that gets him attention and so on. So I just don't see that there's any serious effort to try to marginalize him. And if he wins the Iowa caucus, I think it'll be evidence of the fact that he was able to get his appeal across.
Ray in Milwaukee is with us now. Hello, Ray.
I consider myself from way, way to the left. Like, there's people on the left, and then I'm actually left of them. I'm a union guy. I've been at all the protests this year. And we had a lot of Ron Paul signs at the Occupy Milwaukee event here. There were Ron Paul signs, and at all the anti-Walker demonstrations, I saw Ron Paul people going around, and I'm going to tell the guest why he is so popular with people on the left.
Go ahead.
Anti-war, period. Anti-war. He's not afraid of Iran with one nuclear weapon. We faced down the Soviet Union with 50,000 nuclear weapons. And he said, why are we afraid of Iran with one weapon? If Iran wants to attack Israel, let Israel defend itself. And also, Ron Paul might right now have some conservative views that I do not agree with, like his views on marriage. But I believe once he would come into power, he would probably open that up and change some of his views on that. But he definitely has my vote, and I voted for Obama. I have never voted Republican in my life. He has my vote 100% today, tomorrow, and next November.
All right. Does that change your mind, Professor Baker?
No, I can certainly understand that, and I do know, coming from living in a university town, that progressives really are still very highly motivated by war issues. We have demonstrations here virtually every Saturday, weather permitting, against, you know, now the war in Afghanistan. And I know it's a highly motivating issue, but I just think that there are other aspects of Ron Paul's program, I think, that the people would find people on the left would find very, very distressing. And particularly, I think his views on the Federal Reserve, the feeling that somehow the money supply should be tied to the availability of gold, which is a highly restrictive monetary policy. It means that poor folks just can't get credit, that only those creditworthy will get loans and so on. And I just can't believe that many people on the left would buy into that. And it's just such an important part of his appeal, and one that I think he'd be, as president, most unlikely to abandon.
Our next caller is Steve in Madison. Hello, Steve.
Yeah, good morning. Since Jill Stein's name has come up two or three times this morning, it would be, of course, really good to have her on WPR.
At some point we will, but what do you want to say about third parties?
He mentions that third parties will offer no change, and that we know what the first two parties are about. I think the professor and I each personally know millions of people who are totally flummoxed by Obama's stance, his change from what we thought he said in his rhetoric. I think we know many people who have no idea what Mitt Romney is about, as he's able to take both sides of both issue, of any issue. The two main parties will offer only candidates as different as two bottles of soap on the shelf, as packaged by their corporate sponsors.
Steve, thank you so much. We have just a minute before our news break. Ross Baker, we hear that, you know, that they're cut out of the same cloth, Republicans and Democrats. A response to that?
I'm baffled, frankly, by that. I mean, I cannot imagine. I mean, just take one issue. Take social policy. You know, take the president's position, very, very strong positions, defending same-sex marriage, even extending internationally protection of gays and lesbians against discrimination in other parts of the world, pro-choice and so on. None of those things do you find in any of the Republican candidacies. And you could just go on from there to economic policy, to environmental policy, and so on. I really do think there's a difference. I do think that the president is a recognizable liberal and that the Republicans are recognizable conservatives.
We are talking with Ross Baker, a professor of political science at Rutgers University, member of the USA Today Board of Contributors. His piece on third parties is linked on our website and on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's a column that says that there won't be a serious third-party challenge in 2012. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. There has been speculation lately about an independent presidential candidate, and some polls have shown support for the concept of third parties. But we are talking with a guest this hour who says a third party or third parties are not going to mount a serious challenge in 2012 or have much of an impact in the presidential race. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:37, coming up on 7:37 on this Friday, December the 16th. Our guest is Ross Baker. He's a professor of political science at Rutgers University and a member of the USA Today Board of Contributors. He wrote a piece on third parties entitled Third Party in 2012, Forget About It, that ran recently in USA Today and is linked to our website and our Facebook page. We have a line open for you if you have a question or a challenge for our guest, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Are you a supporter of a third-party candidate, or would you like to see a big-name independent candidate running for president? Are you dissatisfied with your major party of choice but supporting them anyway instead of pursuing another option? We welcome your thoughts and questions. Bernie in Elkhorn is with us. Hello, Bernie.
Hi, good morning to you both. I think the guest is correct that there's not going to be any sort of a significant third-party challenge, but I'll be voting for Ron Paul in the primary and then a progressive who doesn't have a chance in the general election. I voted for Nader many times, voted for Perot, and I'd argue that, for one thing, we need instant runoff voting in this country so the spoiler effect goes away. It gets very tiresome to hear the Democrats blame Nader for their losses, which isn't true. And also, I think there's a critical need for a third party. I know Kevin Zeese and Rocky Anderson are starting up, along with others, a justice party that has a lot of good planks. Heard about that on Democracy Now! And I'll give the guests some examples of where, say, Paul Ryan and Barack Obama are exactly the same. The militarism, the over $1 trillion a year for the military and the intelligence agencies, the drug war, marijuana still hasn't been legal in the so-called land of the free, failure to get money out of elections, corporate bailouts, failure to control illegal immigration, unconditional support of Israel. I mean, on and on it goes. When you look at the policies of corporatists like Barack Obama and the Republican Party, there's really not much difference. I know there are some differences, but there really aren't many. And if we really need a third party bad, and I know this new Americans elect is a complete waste of time.
Well, lots to talk about there, but your initial reaction, Professor Baker.
I think that these differences are in the eye of the beholder. I mean, you can certainly magnify some of the similarities between President Obama and Congressman Ryan, but I think that they're, you know, that this, on a very fundamental level, these are very different people, particularly in terms of the role of economic stimulus, social policy, the problem of how to solve excessive indebtedness and so on. I think there are, you know, really quite significant differences. One of the things that Bernie mentioned was kind of interesting, that Americans Elect organization, which I quite agree with him on. I think it's a waste of time. This is an online effort to try to put together a third-party movement in the United States, or actually not even a third-party movement, a non-party movement. It's a complete departure from partisanship in that they really don't want any kind of party labels at all. Mayor Bloomberg of New York has been very instrumental in the so-called no labels movement and so on. I guess I believe in labels. I think that I'm very suspicious of unlabeled products. I don't want to see, you know, cans on a shelf in a grocery store with no labels on them. And although, the differences between the parties to some people may seem rather small, I think they really are significant. But certainly they're not as great as you would find in other countries. I mean, we don't have in this country a very powerful socialist movement, nor do we have a very strong fascist movement in this country. I think in other countries you do get these very, very yawning differences between parties. Yeah, I think that both parties ultimately do converge at the center, particularly when someone is sworn in as President of the United States and you realize you've got to govern a very diverse country, and you really don't, as Thomas Jefferson once observed, you don't want to force great innovations on slender majorities. And generally speaking, presidents are elected by pretty slender majorities. President Obama, perhaps, was something of an exception, since he defeated Senator McCain really quite easily in 2008. But in general, yeah, there is a tendency to move to the center simply because governing is impossible without some kind of convergence and some kind of consensus.
Now, you mentioned, and so did Bernie, that this Americans Elect movement is a waste of time, but the way I understand it, Buddy Romer, who the former Louisiana governor who is running in the Republican race and not getting a whole lot of traction there, has thrown his hat into the ring for this American Elect nomination. Donald Trump supposedly says he might be interested. If a really big name became the Americans Elect nominee and was on the ballot, then that has some impact on the race or not?
Well, the question is how big a name and how credible that name would be. Inevitably, when people are desperately searching around for somebody to carry the third-party standard, the name of Donald Trump comes up. I find Donald Trump in many ways an offense against piety. I think he's a person who just absolutely thrives on attention, craves praise and reverence from his employees and so on. The idea that this ego out of control is a viable presidential candidate is just absolutely appalling to me. Buddy Romer, you know, is somebody who was a very undistinguished member of the House of Representatives, a Democrat who became a Republican. I don't think that his candidacy, his incumbency as governor of Louisiana was particularly distinguished. They're not going to find anybody. And you know, you can't beat somebody with nobody. And so far, both, at least the Democrats have somebody. The Republicans will get somebody. It'll probably be either Newt Gingrich or Mitt Romney. And then we'll be able to make a decision not only on the differences between the policies of the two parties, but also on the individuals themselves.
Well, I know Bernie wanted to, he was advocating for instant runoff elections, and Bill in Lancaster, I believe, also wanted to talk about that, so let's bring Bill on now. Hello, Bill.
Morning. Yeah, instant runoff or 1-2-3 runoff elections. Say a guy wants to vote for Ron Paul, but he doesn't want to, quote-unquote, waste his vote. he would vote for Ron Paul, and then if Ron Paul didn't get a certain percentage of the vote, he could, his second vote would be for, say, Romney or whoever he wants. And then he can voice his opinion that he likes Ron Paul without, quote-unquote, wasting his vote. That's what instant runoff elections are. And I think that if a third-party candidate ever wants to be viable, we need 1-2-3 runoff elections.
Mm-hmm. And
I also think we also need to increase the number of representatives in Congress to closer to what the Constitution states. We are well below, the American people are well below what the Constitution states for number of constituents per representative in the House of Representatives. But neither of these things will ever come to fruition because it would take the power away from the two main parties.
Well, a comment on instant runoff elections?
I have no particular feeling about it. I guess I just believe that Americans feel more comfortable with winner-take-all. I don't believe in complicating the process. I certainly don't believe in proportional voting. I think that that's something that is characteristic of some of these coalition governments in Europe that are very unstable. On the question of underrepresentation, it is a problem, and I think your caller is quite correct in pointing out that it doesn't get discussed very often. Right now, in my own state of New Jersey, with the loss of one House seat, each congressional district will have about 730,000 people in it. That's a lot of people for one member to represent. The number of representatives in the House was frozen in 1910 because clearly it was just getting too large. But that number, I think, really needs to increase. How much by how much, I'm not sure, but I think it is a problem. Even though I don't hear members of Congress complain about it too much, but I think at least in theory it does sound like we're getting to the point where there are too few representatives for too many people.
Another Bernie on Facebook writes, a single alternative party will not work because it presumes it would be a moderate party. Inevitably, that party has split from one side or the other, giving power to the worse alternative in the eyes of the loser. It would take a multi-party system to function well like they have in Europe and other nations. Does that make sense, Professor Bacon?
Well, I guess I'm just I just find multi-party systems very chaotic at times. Take Italy, for example, which is going through just tremendous problems right now because there's such a multiplicity of parties. That people feel that, you know, when they don't get what they want, they simply form another political party. It just fragments politics. And I think that I really do think Americans do have sufficient choice in Democrats and Republicans. I mean, I just don't see opinions which unless they're totally zany, to use a Mitt Romney phrase, that aren't to some degree embedded in one party or the other. I mean, sure, you know, you can have very, very exotic economic theories that neither party accept, but I think that both of them serve as a kind of discipline on the political system and make it more manageable and give people comprehensible choices.
We're talking with Ross Baker, a professor of political science at Rutgers University, a member of the USA Today Board of Contributors, who wrote a piece on third parties. And we are talking about why he doesn't think third parties are all that great of an idea and does not think that they will mount a serious challenge in 2012. And we wonder what you think and what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. It's going to be mostly cloudy today. A few flurries in western and southern Wisconsin. Highs ranging from the low 20s in the north to the mid-30s in the south. Tomorrow, cloudy with a few morning flurries in southern Wisconsin. A chance of some light afternoon snow in the northeast. Highs tomorrow, upper 20s in the north to the upper 30s in the south. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
I'm Veronica Rickert. Join me Fridays from 9 to 11 for in-depth conversations with artists, writers, scientists, and cultural critics. The ideas that help us understand ourselves and our world. That's Friday morning, starting at 9, on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Do you still believe in intuition?
How it's affecting us?
What about all that stimulus money? What's happened to it?
Did the recession do all this?
What's the biggest challenge you face?
Talk about why.
What was that like?
How it's affecting us?
Is it seen as a big deal?
They are ready to answer your questions.
Your questions and concerns about health care reform in this country.
So what's the president up against?
Do we want tougher laws?
What is our responsibility and our rights as citizens?
This is Wisconsin Public Radio.
Support for WPR comes from Physicians Plus Insurance, offering members a choice in care at UW Health, Meritor Hospital and Clinics, and a network of hospitals and primary care physicians throughout South Central Wisconsin. On the web at pplusic.com.
This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It is 10 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Friday, December the 16th. A recall milestone, a scramble for support in Iowa and New Hampshire, and the official end of the Iraq War. Just a few of the topics on the Week in Review coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now we're talking about third parties with Ross Baker, a professor of political science at Rutgers University. And we welcome your thoughts and questions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Peter in Milwaukee is with us next. Hello, Peter.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was telling your screener that I believe that, you know, the two parties work good for the elitists. A third party would definitely throw a wrench into the system, and the reason I say that is that the wealthy people that are in control of, let's say, the world or the policies that are running our country and that are going to be spread throughout the world, this gives them an opportunity to kind of meter or gauge, you know, where the vote is. So each party will allow certain people to vote and read, you know, how far they're willing to go, whether it's abortion, collective bargaining, or any sort of a major hot-button issue. And they'll just kind of allow us to battle amongst ourselves, whereas the grand scheme of things can control. And it's hard to get this off without always sounding nuts or crazy, but I have talked to a lot of people, and they kind of feel the same way about this. I just wonder what his opinion is on that.
Mm-hmm. Professor Baker?
Right. Well, I mean, I think to some extent I've talked about it already in the sense that, yes, you know, there certainly is a tendency in a two-party system to temper the most extreme positions, simply because most voters aren't attracted by very extreme positions. I mean, some voters, you know, some minority are, but I think most people, Americans, I think in general, don't like the idea of brawling politicians. I think they really like the idea of people coming together to solve problems. So I will admit that certainly the two-party system does, to a very great extent, tend to screen out the most extreme positions. But, I think most Americans like it that way. Let me just point out one very, very practical obstacle to the success of a third party, and that's the Electoral College system. You know, love it or hate it, it's what we have. And it is extremely difficult to pick up electoral votes by a third party. It hasn't happened very often. You can really run up an impressive number of votes in the popular vote column without getting a single electoral vote. It's electoral votes that win elections, and it's one of the advantages that the two parties have, is that one or the other of them is going to get the electoral votes no matter how many tens of millions of votes spread across the country a third party gets. You really have to get your votes in a sufficient number and the right number of states in order to win the White House, and that's something that third-party movements have never been able to surmount.
Thank you, Peter. Al in Milwaukee. Hi, Al.
Hi. I was just going to say, and I told your screener, that I believe the Tea Party should be running candidates as a legitimate third party and not in a sense, stand behind the screen of the Republican Party. They're simply right-wing extremist Republicans, and they should stand alone, have the integrity to stand all by themselves and run candidates. That, in that respect, we take away from the Republican Party that an attempt to try to screen away some of its most extreme elements.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the media should do the same. They shouldn't be referring to the Tea Party as the Tea Party. No, it's not a third party. It's an extreme wing of the Republican Party. So as long as the media continues to refer to the Tea Party that way, you know, it's just doing a disservice to honesty and integrity to the, in facing the public.
All right. A response to that, Professor Baker?
Yes, it's really interesting because I talk about that in the article, that the Tea Party named itself the use of the word party really does refer to that event that took place in Boston Harbor in 1773. And they've not really constituted themselves as a political party, but rather as a force to compel the Republican Party to be more conservative. And they've never made any pretense about fielding candidates in their name, but they are certainly have been influential within the Republican Party, and certainly the 60 members of the House of Representatives who were elected with the Tea Party support have certainly had their impact on Republican politics in Washington.
Mm-hmm. Here's an update on Ron Paul. Ron Paul yesterday said he has no intention of running for president as a third-party candidate if he does not get the Republican presidential nomination. But apparently in an interview with Sean Hannity immediately after the debate last night, he said something along the lines, "I'll give the same answer I've given about 39 times now. I have no intention of doing that." But when pressed, shied away from saying the decision was absolute, though he clarified he cannot conceive of it. You don't think that he's going to do it?
I really don't. I mean, I don't know what kind of statement Congressman Paul could make people who somehow hope that he's going to run as a third-party candidate. He's been so categorical about it on so many occasions that if in fact he were to change his mind, I think people would say, oh, that's sort of like all the other politicians. I mean, one of the things that he enjoys is the fact that he is different, that he does seem to have positions that he's willing to stick to, and I think this is one of them. And I think if he abandons it, I think he becomes, in the minds of people who like him, just like any other politician.
Yeah. We have a caller, and I don't think we have time to actually take the call on air in our last couple of minutes, who wants to ask, what about the Occupy movement? The Occupy movement says, you know, they're not supporting the Democrats, they're not supporting the Republicans, and they're mad at both of them.
Well, I mean, certainly the Occupy movement, again, has, I think, deliberately, to the extent that, you know, that their spokespersons have made any statements at all, certainly have remained aloof from supporting candidates or running candidates and so on, and I think it's basically an effort to call attention to income inequality in the United States, to the abuses of excessive wealth and so on, and I think that certainly they've gotten that message across, and it's embedded itself in the discussions that go on in Washington now. They certainly have had an impact in that regard, and I think that's exactly what they want.
Yeah. Well, in our final minute, do you have any thoughts on who's likely to get this GOP nomination, since it's being so hard fought right now?
Can I put in something totally extraneous?
Sure.
I was invited to the White House Christmas party this year, and the University of Wisconsin Glee Club was there entertaining, and they were just terrific.
Well, good. I've never heard them. So, all right. Well,
they're just wonderful. And in fact, they were there when I came in, and I stopped to listen to them on the way out, and it was just a great performance.
Well, they'll appreciate that compliment. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you, Joe. Right.
Ross Baker, professor of political science at Rutgers University. His piece on third parties that ran in USA Today is linked to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and is also on our website, WPR.org/joy. Thanks to Rob Ferret for producing this hour and to Bill Martins for directing it and to Amanda Magnus for her on-air production. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.